Blog Talk Radio.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, get on up and do your stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said, everybody, get on up and do your stuff. You better get up. You got to be tough when you do your stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Congress College. Happy Friday. Man, did you have a week? I sure did. I don't know what it was. It seemed like I was running behind on just about everything I did. It just seemed that way to me this week. Anyway, I'm so glad you're spending 30 minutes with us here at Congress College. My name is Elizabeth Crist. I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. And if you guessed it, if you think about the name Congress College, we typically talk about what's going on in Congress. Congress College airs twice weekly on the Monday show when Congress is in session. We outline the week, and that means we talk about literally what will be coming up in the Senate and the House of Representatives. And then on the Friday show, same time slot, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we usually recap the week and we talk about what actually did they get done. What did the Senate of the United States end up doing? How about the House of Representatives? And, you know, I do the show so you can answer this really, really simple question. Were you represented well in Washington, D.C. for the week? Because think about it. I say this all the time. We have the greatest representative government in the world. I always challenge people, tell me a better government. Is it China? Is it Japan? Is it Switzerland? You know, I think you're going to probably say, no, it's ours. And yes, we have warts. Yes, we have problems. But, you know, the best way to figure it out is for us to get involved. So that's one of the reasons I do the show. That's one of the reasons I do Congress College twice weekly. Another reason is to familiarize folks with the free website, gradegov.com. And, of course, gradegov.com lets you grade a member of Congress. How about you're a member of Congress? What would you give him or her right now? Would she or he get a B? Would they get a D? And, of course, the grades we're talking about are the same grades we all got in school, the A, B, C, D, or F. You figure out who you want to grade, and then you figure out what grade you want to give them, and then the site will prompt you to write a letter explaining why you gave the grade. And I say this all the time, members of Congress, they do look at the site. They want to know what their constituents think of them. What better way for them to figure out where they are, how they're standing with you, than to pop over to gradegov.com and see their grade. Maybe it's a B, maybe it's a D, and they get to read your letter. So tell your friends and family about gradegov.com. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. That song you're listening to in the background, I just love it. It's Perk Badger, Do Your Stuff, and that's what we do here at Congress College. We do our stuff when it comes to Washington, D.C. All right, so I teased out this show. Since Congress is not in session, we're not going to be talking about Congress. So I teased out the show talking about the Democratic Convention. Did they get a bump or a thud? We did the same thing with after the Republican Convention, trying to decide sort of if they got a bump or was it a big old thud? Was it a dud? And then, of course, talking about Donald Trump dominating the media this week. Well, what did you think of the convention? I tell you, the one thing that really just drove me nuts was the fact that it was blue. There was no red, white, and blue. It was blue. What was that supposed to be for? World order? Global dominance? And it seemed like almost every keynote speaker had a blue tie on, that sea blue. I don't know. It got on my nerves. It didn't seem very patriotic at all. The folks there dressed didn't seem to be dressed in patriotic clothing. You know, some of the fun part of watching a convention, and those that have been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can sit on the floor and you look at all the crazy get-ups. Crazy. All the crazy ways people make red, white, and blue into an outfit. And, of course, you can do the same on TV, but it really kind of glares at you and stares at you, and it's really entertaining when you're on the convention floor. You couldn't have done that at the Democratic convention because it was basically just a sea of blue. We're going to start by asking you to take a listen here. This is how the Democratic Party has changed since Bill Clinton. I'm not going to play the whole clip because it's a little more than 4 minutes, but take a listen.
In the name of the hardworking Americans who make up our forgotten middle class, I proudly accept your nomination for President of the United States.
When I look out at all of you, you know what I see? I see America's future.
100 miles in 24 years separates the 1992 New York Democratic Convention from the one that will open here in Philadelphia on Monday. But the distance is far greater than a matter of miles or years. Despite the familial link, the Democratic Party that will nominate the second Clinton is sharply different in makeup and philosophy from the one that nominated the first. Bill Clinton's campaign was based on the idea that voters did not trust the Democrats with their safety or their money. He promised a different agenda: middle-class tax relief, ending welfare as we know it, tougher on crime, pro-death penalty. Bill Galston was a key architect of that agenda.
The move towards fiscal restraint and a balanced budget, which yielded 4 years of surpluses, a focus on education reform, not just education investment, welfare reform, the trade agenda, which included not just NAFTA, but also the WTO.
The Democrats in Philadelphia are striking sharply different notes. The platform calls for ending mass incarceration, abolishing the death penalty, free college tuition for millions, cracking down on big banks, a public option for health care, and the right to an abortion without restrictions. Instead of Bill Clinton's wall of blue, mothers whose sons and daughters were killed by police will speak here.
Certainly a Bill Clinton convention would never have thought of having those type of speakers.
Ed Rendell, former Philadelphia mayor, Pennsylvania governor, and national party chair.
There's no question the left wing is more progressive, it's more active, it's more into advocacy than it ever has been.
I remember Bill Clinton saying endlessly, and Hillary too, abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. That's not in the platform. Rare is out.
We've become the progressive wing of the party is more dominant than it's been.
One reason is demographics.
You kind of get where this is going. It is demographics to a certain extent. Let me just correct the record here for a second. The surpluses that Bill Clinton received during his presidency was in part due to the balanced budget, but let's just be clear. The dot-coms were blowing up. They were exploding. They were hitting the scene and making lots of people a lot of money. So that was part of it also. We had a great economy in part because of the internet. And welfare reform, remember, Bill Clinton vetoed the first two welfare reform bills, and he was basically made to take the third and final one, the welfare to work bill that Senator Bob Dole and Newt Gingrich crafted over years and years and years of hard work. So that wasn't really his theme either. I just want that to be clear. But the Democratic Party is completely different. It's all about entitlement. It's all about giving free stuff. It's all about free tuition, free phones. Entitlement, 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 and it's about demonizing almost all that seems to be positive in America in some kind of sort of weird twist that they seem to be getting better and better and better at doing. You know, it was obvious at the convention that the Democrats were not happy with Hillary. I know that most of you, most listeners know that throughout the convention, every morning there are delegation breakfasts and members of the same delegation typically eat together and they break bread together and they fellowship and they talk about how it's going. And if they've got a rock star, a keynote speaker that's going to speak, they give them sort of their attagirls and attaboys and all of that. Well, Nancy Pelosi went to her California delegation breakfast and boy, take a listen to this. This is less than a minute.
And some people are new and just are not familiar with how things work.
But they're booing the presumptive nominee 2 days before she's going to give her
well,
big
it's right in this room.
The people of South will return to the people. Our new president of California, we need to say, let's give
how things work.
Yeah, her answer to that was afterwards, people just aren't familiar with how things work. Like we're dumb. She loves to sort of give the impression that it's too complicated for the American people. They don't really know how it works. They just need to be told how it works. I tell you what, they were disrupting her. They disrupted a lineup of speakers. Cheers for Bernie Sanders over and over and over. Bernie. Here's the deal. Let's take the Democratic primary that was held in June, probably the most recent of them. Bernie Sanders got 46% of the California Democratic primary vote. Bernie Sanders got 46%. Hillary got 53%. It seemed like whenever a speaker started talking about trying to unite everybody around Clinton, the crowd balked. They booed Congressman Honda. They chanted, Bernie, Bernie, during Congresswoman Barbara Lee's address. It just went on and on and on. The media didn't report on it very often, but it was phenomenal. And then the amount of people leaving the convention, literally leaving and not coming back. You know, I mentioned this on Andrea Shea King's show on Wednesday. Craigslist had literally an ad, could have been a false ad. It seemed pretty real to me. They were going to pay somebody $100, multiple people, $100 for the day, sit in a seat, wave a flag. Must not have been able to get very many people because there weren't any flags waving, and sort of hold signs and that kind of thing. $100. Let me tell you how conventions work, folks, if you haven't been, and those that have will totally get this. Usually your ticket, and it's usually now it's badges. It's not really tickets anymore. It's badges and lanyards. You know how that works. Usually they're in such high demand that a lot of times you're asked when you're given a pass for the day, could you maybe give it up at 2 or 3 o'clock and we want to give it to somebody else? You almost split up tickets, if you will, like going to a football game and you get the first two quarters and I get the last two quarters and we'll split it. We'll give each other the new ticket at halftime. That's typical of a Republican convention because so many people want to go. There aren't enough seats. And more people want to go, so they kind of split up the day sometimes like that. In this case, in the Democratic convention in Philadelphia, they were literally looking for bodies to put in seats. You know what else was missing from the convention other than the red, white, and blue? The police. The police presence was told, don't be present. Don't wear your uniform. We don't want your presence on the floor of the convention, but you saw Black Lives Matter presence everywhere. You know what else was mentioned, was missing? The mention of ISIS. As of the end of the first night, Monday night, this is based on searches of the C-SPAN closed caption text, which is pretty easy to put a word search in there. Congressional quarterly transcripts using the closed caption from C-SPAN could not find a single speaker with a single mention of the word ISIS, Islamic terror, terrorist, or terrorism. That's according to PolitiFact. Take a listen here. This is Rudy Giuliani. This is Just Add a Minute.
American leadership impacts the entire world, but our weak leadership the past 7 years has failed us. Islamic extremist terrorism is on the rise. 5 major attacks in 7 months. We simply cannot continue down this path of failed leadership. The world must come together and America needs to lead. Yet President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton just want to stay the course. The incompetence Hillary Clinton displayed during the Benghazi attack and her singular focus on protecting her own reputation proves she's not ready to be commander-in-chief. We face many challenges as a nation, but nothing is more critical than America displaying strong leadership and an unwavering resolve to defeat terrorism. America's leadership can and must be better. And with Donald Trump as president, it will be.
Great America PAC is responsible for...
Okay, so you think that timing was a little coincidental? There's no coincidences in in politics. I actually don't believe in coincidences in general. I think they're God winks, but that's just me. So they ran this ad. They're going to be running this ad. Rudy Giuliani still brings a lot of comfort to a lot of people. You know, he was the mayor of New York at the time of the 9/11 attacks. He handled himself with amazing grace. He was amazingly poised. He had it together, and he felt like we were going to be okay because Rudy was at the helm. That 1 minute ad about leadership is glaring as a contrast compared to, as I said, at least the first night, not a single mention. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Because Hillary Clinton was our Secretary of State during the buildup of ISIS. And if she really gets into it, and you can bet that Donald Trump will bring this up at the debates, but right now she doesn't want to talk about that at all because it brings up her failed leadership, or at least it calls into question. People kind of go, well, wait a minute, weren't you the Secretary of State during some of this, most of this? So, as I said, Donald Trump knows how to grab the highlights, grab the news cycle, and he sure did this week. Take a listen to Donald Trump here. He's going to talk for, this is less than a minute, you've heard it before, on Putin.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. He doesn't respect our president. And if it is Russia, which is probably not, nobody knows who it is, but if it is Russia, it's really bad for a different reason, because it shows how little respect they have for our country when they would hack into a major party and get everything. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens. That'll be next. Yes, sir.
And, of course, that was a reference to the 30,000 emails that she said at the time she erased because they were really all about her yoga class schedule and Chelsea's wedding. But people on the Democratic side of the aisle, the pundits went crazy. They said there's no precedent for this. A presidential candidate publicly appealing to a foreign adversary to intervene in an election. That's not what he said. That isn't all what he said. This is unprecedented. This is one of those things that seems to be genuinely new in international relations. This is Paul Musgrave. He's a University of Massachusetts professor who studies American foreign policy. He said he was shocked. Shocked and speechless. And then, of course, some of the Democrats were saying, well, this is a treasonous act. He's asking for Russia to disclose secrets potentially. Well, wait a minute, folks. Hillary Clinton's 30,000 emails were all about her yoga schedule. Remember, they were about Chelsea's wedding. They were so personal that she didn't see the need to keep them, even though the Select Committee on Benghazi had subpoenaed them. So she threw them away, deleted them. Remember, she wiped her server clean and told Ed Henry of Fox News, you mean wiped with a cloth? She was being very snarky at that point when he asked, did she actually wipe the server clean? She said, you mean with a cloth? Yeah, remember, they were so inconsequential. It didn't matter. They were so personal. They were just about routine stuff. So why would it be treasonous if Russia did have them, if he turned them over? Why would that be treasonous? It either is or isn't, folks. They either were personal or they had some State Department business on them. And you know where I probably come down on this. So what is this about Donald Trump grabbing the headlines, keeping the headlines? Whatever your reaction is to what he said, here's one thing that I think you can probably all agree on. Trump dominates the news cycle. He just does. He actually believes there is no such thing as bad press. Well, I can tell you this, from Congress's point of view, they totally disagree with that. And that's why so many of them are nervous about getting on the Trump train. They're very nervous because they believe there is such thing as bad press. They've seen their fellow politicians die on the sword from bad press. Just ask Gary Hart, or how about Senator John Edwards? You know, most members of Congress are they've had a very calculated life. They calculate all the big major things they do in their life, colleges they go to, whom they marry, what clubs they join, all that. And Donald Trump being a little bit of a loose cannon and then also believing there's such a thing as bad press makes them nervous. Nobody seems to survive when he steps on his own words. That's because he is a media mogul. He knows how to play the media. You know, the Secret Service give the president and the vice president, presidential candidates, when they get to the point they get Secret Service, they give them all nicknames, and Donald Trump's is Mogul. Another one that is I always thought was cute, when Vice President Dan Quayle was our vice president, his Secret Service code name was Skippy. It was Skippy. Okay, so who won the convention ratings race? Was it Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? Trump beat her by about 2 million viewers. This is according to the Nielsen's TV rating. This is Thursday's speech, Hillary Clinton's speech at the DNC versus Donald Trump's speech the week before. Hillary's speech averaged 29.8 million viewers. And this is across 10 broadcast and cable channels. That's how Nielsen does it. Trump's speech a week earlier, 32.2 million across the same channels. So Donald says he won. You know, he loves to say, I'm better, I'm bigger. We beat her by millions, Donald Trump said. He said that at a rally today. We beat her by millions. One thing that I want folks to remember is the new signups for Facebook friends for Donald Trump after his speech. 500,000 from the beginning of this convention to the end of the convention. 500,000 new followers. I a lot of times we think, well, Facebook is just sort of fake book or it doesn't calculate. In politics, and I've mentioned this before, in politics it does calculate a little differently. In politics, Facebook is almost like the water cooler talk at your office. You sit around the water cooler every so often or meet at the water cooler and share your opinion. That's what Facebook ends up being for politics. It's an echo chamber. 500,000 echo chambers. I don't know what Hillary and her webpage got. I'm sure we'll learn, and I'll try to get you that number. But I bet you dimes to dollars is not near the 500,000. So what did you think of her speech? I thought it started out pretty well. The film, it was okay. Her initial message was starting to work, and then she got into the anti-Trump sort of rhetoric, and then she closed with all of the populist message. What was she trying to do there? Was she trying to compete with Sanders and Obama? It reminded me 2008. She was all over the place. She's never been a great speaker, but in this case, she really was all over the place. Multiple messages end up with being no message. Was she clearly trying to target Sanders' coalition and the Never Trumpers? Problem is, if she was, I'm not sure what she was doing. I think she took for granted Democrats. She let them sort of flapping in the wind. Think about it. We just talked about the fact that many, many Democratic convention goers left the building, left altogether, calculated. And I don't think there's a chance they won't recover from this. Their Democratic loyalists aren't there anymore. Obviously, they went to Bernie Sanders. That wasn't the Democratic Party, per se. And then think about it. The Pelosi California breakfast where they booed her, that was just the beginning. There were four or five of those throughout the week. I just don't have the video or the audio clips for you guys to listen. That wasn't a isolated incident where in those private meetings, the keynote, who was an establishment Democrat, got boos from disgruntled delegates. Obviously, time will tell if her message is falling short. I think the multiple messages she was trying to give is not going to work. All right, let me spend just 1 minute on Christian conservatives and Donald Trump. You know, he now has about 25 Christian conservatives that serve on his, I'm going to call it an advisory for his Christian roots. This is Jerry Falwell, Jack Graham, Ben Carson, James Robison, Michelle Bachman. Dr. James Dobson said this. He thinks that Donald Trump is a baby Christian. That means a young Christian who doesn't have a clue about how believers think, act, or talk. But he's still sort of a believer. This is what Dr. Dobson said. All I can tell you is that we only have two choices, Hillary or Donald. Hillary scares me to death. And if Christians stay home because he isn't a better candidate, Hillary will run the world, probably ruin it. The very thought of that haunts my nights and days. He ends with one thing that is sure. We need to be in prayer for our nation. Franklin Graham said that with his tour of touring the country, going to all 50 state capitals. I was lucky enough to go to the Tallahassee one in Florida in January. Franklin Graham was great. His message was the same. Christians, you can't stay home. Pray for our nation, but you can't stay home this time. All right, I'm about to get to the end. There's a news bulletin, though, folks. I don't know if you've heard this. Hillary Clinton's campaign has been caught up in cyber attacks. This is Reuters reported this just a couple hours ago. Somebody hacked into the Clinton campaign the same day they hacked into the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which, of course, is the campaign, the Democratic campaign arm for the House Democrats. Obviously, you don't know who did it. Are they going to be able to reveal anything? I don't know. You know, this is Hillary Clinton's worst nightmare. The word email has got to be like Bill Clinton's blue dress. The word email has got to be a nightmare for Hillary Clinton, just like the blue dress was a nightmare for Bill Clinton. Her emails just will not go away. I find it phenomenal. All right, get your pencil. We do this at every area in Congress College. I'll talk really slow so we can give you the president's daily schedule for today. In the morning at a daily briefing, which is his presidential daily briefing, and then at 11 o'clock he met with Secretary Kerry. That's it, folks. That's our president hard at work. You know, I do this all the time so you can really understand how this president is not working for you. Google your favorite past president and pull up a Friday in the middle of the summer, last day of July, and you will find their schedule jammed from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. Starting with breakfast in the family court, meeting with congressional leaders, meeting with cabinet, on and on and on, 7 to 7 almost. This guy's lucky if he has two things on his schedule. He met with John Kerry, Secretary Kerry. You think he met with him because Secretary Kerry said this week, air conditioners are more dangerous than ISIS. This stuff up, folks. That's what our Secretary of State said this week. Air conditioners are more dangerous than ISIS. I'm going to leave you with Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, because you know what, folks? We will survive. We know we will survive, but we certainly need prayers, lots of prayers. Lots of prayers for our country. Have a blessed week. Enjoy your week. And I will talk to you on Monday. Thanks for listening.